Welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into Topic 5, Health, Disease, and the Development of Medicines. This is a topic that comes up every single year in exams, and once you understand it properly, it's one of the most rewarding topics to answer questions on. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the absolute foundation. What does health actually mean? In everyday life, we might say someone is healthy if they're not ill. But for your exam, you need to be much more precise. The World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease. This is a three-part definition, and examiners love testing it. If a question asks you to define health, you must include all three components: physical, mental, and social. Missing any one of them will cost you marks. Now, diseases are broadly split into two categories, communicable and non-communicable. A communicable disease is one that can be passed from one organism to another. It's infectious. Think of the flu, tuberculosis, or malaria. A non-communicable disease cannot be spread between individuals. These include heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and most cancers. This distinction is fundamental and confusing. The two is one of the most common mistakes candidates make. Remember, communicable equals catching, non-communicable equals not catching. Communicable diseases are caused by pathogens. There are four main types of pathogen you need to know: viruses, bacteria, fungi, and protists. Let's go through each one briefly. Viruses are the smallest pathogens. They're not even cells. They invade your body's cells and use the cell's machinery to replicate, often destroying the cell in the process. HIV, influenza, and measles are all caused by viruses. Bacteria are single-celled organisms that can reproduce rapidly inside the body. They cause disease by producing toxins. Tuberculosis and salmonella food poisoning are bacterial diseases. Fungi cause diseases like athlete's foot and thrush. And protists, single-celled eukaryotes, cause diseases like malaria, which is spread by mosquitoes acting as vectors. Pathogens spread in several ways: through the air, via droplets when someone coughs or sneezes, through direct contact with infected individuals or contaminated surfaces, through contaminated food or water, through vectors like mosquitoes, and through sexual contact. Understanding the method of spread is crucial because it directly links to prevention strategies. If a disease spreads through contaminated water, you prevent it by improving sanitation. If it spreads through vectors, you target the vector, for example, draining stagnant water where mosquitoes breed. Now let's talk about how your body defends itself. The human body has a remarkable two-tier defense system. The first tier is non-specific. It works against any pathogen. The second tier is specific. It targets particular pathogens. The non-specific defenses are your first line of defense. Think of them as the castle walls. The skin acts as a physical barrier, preventing pathogens from entering. If pathogens do get in through cuts, the blood clots to seal the wound. The mucus in your nose and airways traps pathogens, and the tiny hairs called cilia sweep the mucus, along with trapped pathogens, away from the lungs. Stomach acid kills most pathogens that enter through food. These are your chemical and physical barriers, and you should be able to list and explain at least four of them in an exam. When pathogens do get past these barriers, the specific immune response kicks in. This is where it gets really interesting. Every pathogen has unique proteins on its surface called antigens. Think of antigens as the pathogen's identity badge. When a pathogen enters your body, white blood cells called phagocytes engulf and destroy them in a process called phagocytosis. But crucially, the phagocytes then display the pathogen's antigens on their own surface, presenting them to another type of white blood cell, lymphocytes. B lymphocytes are the antibody factories of your immune system. When a B lymphocyte with the right complementary receptor encounters the antigen, it becomes activated and divides rapidly, a process called clonal expansion. The resulting cells, called plasma cells, produce millions of antibodies. Antibodies are Y-shaped proteins that are specific to one antigen. They have a complementary shape that allows them to bind to the antigen like a lock and key. Once antibodies bind to pathogens, they can neutralize toxins, clump pathogens together to make them easier for phagocytes to engulf, or directly destroy the pathogen. Here's the critical part that many students get wrong. After the infection is cleared, some B lymphocytes remain in the body as memory lymphocytes. These cells can persist for years, even decades. If the same pathogen invades again, these memory cells recognize the antigen immediately and mount a much faster, much larger antibody response. This is why you rarely get the same infection twice, and it's the scientific basis of vaccination. A vaccine introduces antigens, either from a weakened or dead pathogen, or just the surface proteins, without causing disease. Your immune system responds, memory cells are formed, and you're protected if you encounter the real pathogen later. T lymphocytes are another type of white blood cell. They can directly kill infected cells and also help coordinate the immune response. At higher tier, you should know that T helper cells activate B lymphocytes, while T killer cells destroy body cells that have been infected by viruses.